And we will dismiss the children. And all those adults aren't teachers. Some of them are just fleeing the children, okay? How did you learn mathematics? How did you learn mathematics? Yes? Wasn't it by repetition? Learning over and over the various, what's the word, form, right. You learned it that way, and it stayed with you. So there are times when repetition of God's things are also in order. And this morning we're going to look at something that you know about, you've heard about all your life. We're going to look at, well, we're going to answer a question. What place do the Ten Commandments have in your life? What place do the Ten Commandments have in your life? Today, we think of God as a loving, benevolent overseer who watches over us, but he is so much more than that. He's a God of organization and law. He chooses the Jewish people to be his chosen people. And he would establish a special relationship with them. Most of us have never been Jewish. So the laws that affect the Jews do not really pertain to us. The whole world, in one way or another, has been affected by the laws that God has given to the Jews. Almost every nation upon the face of the earth has somehow incorporated part of the Ten Commandments into their system of laws. And I think that in order to explain the effects of God's law impacting the whole of the world society, that we're going to have to go back to the origin of mankind. Every culture and people came from one man and one woman. We are all related. We are all related, every one of us. You may think that somebody was hatched. They weren't. We're all human beings. We all come from a mother and a father, present or absent. It took two. That's the way God made it. He didn't make anything else. There was a particular family that God chose to be his family, and that was the family of, he was called originally Abram, now he's called Abraham. Abraham and Sarah were the mother and father of God's chosen people. God gave that family, he blessed them with his watch care. He made promises to them that he would bless those who blessed them, and he would cursed those who cursed him. And so that was the beginning of God's family. He did not give them the law. They were free of the law. That came later. Units separated from Abraham's family, and they began their own societies. Ishmael was one. Some were not pleasing to God. And so the time came when God began providing comments, commandments, and laws that would help keep his family from being influenced by the wickedness that he found in the world, the wickedness that was in the heart of man. And you may not like to admit it, but we all have some of that right here. It came from your great, 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 we'll say that till the service is over, mother and father, Adam and Eve. They were all of our mothers and fathers. God, once he started providing laws and commandments, most of that took place when God delivered posterity from slavery, his chosen people from slavery in Egypt. They went there to eat, and for the privilege of eating, they became slaves in the land of Egypt. And he chose one man, a shepherd. Isn't that interesting? Shepherd. To lead them out of Egypt. And some people call Jesus shepherd. That word shepherd also means pastor. Same word. Well, Moses was used to lead them out of Egypt. And as he did so, God began communicating directly with Moses face to face. You and I really don't want to talk to God face to face because of this thing I mentioned within each of us, evil, wickedness, sin. Because God can't abide sin. And so on the way out of Egypt, on the way to the what they called the Promised Land, place where God was going to give them to live, God met with Moses on top of a mountain. And he gave him, to begin with, the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone. Now, people all knew where Moses was. He was up on the mountain talking to God in their behalf. And when he came back down, were they waiting for him? Were they worshiping God? No, they were having a big time party. And Moses, in anger of their response, threw those tablets down and they broke. So God had Moses. This was very important to God. This was ultimately important to God because these Ten Commandments affect you. Whether you're a Christian under grace or not, the Ten Commandments still affect you. Most of the other laws don't. Nobody brought an ox this morning, and we're not sacrificing anything out in the front yard. We're not bringing any blood into the building. At least I hope not. But God gave those Ten Commandments for a purpose. nations that used to be Christian nations, such as England, Scotland, United States, Canada, other countries, are trying to deny them. They're trying to destroy them because they deal with man's relationship to God as well as man's relationship to man. And to accept the Ten Commandments means that you have to acknowledge that there is a God to have a relationship with. And most nations don't want to do that. They want to determine what they want to do. And they want the right to do it. They don't have that right, but they want it anyway. Today, most of the world has turned away from God and his influence upon society. Up until a few decades ago, most of the world observed the Ten Commandments because they were a source of organization and social benefit to all the nations around the world. Today, every nation that has abandoned the Ten Commandments is fracturing and coming apart. Every nation that has abandoned the Ten Commandments is fracturing, coming apart. They're disintegrating into chaos and confusion. Could the Ten Commandments be that important and necessary to maintaining order? At this point in our international history, it appears that the Ten Commandments were a blueprint for success under God. Nobody looks at them that way anymore. I believe that all those who have rejected the Ten Commandments are doomed to failure. I believe they are doomed to confusion. So I thought that it might be a good thing for us this morning to look back at them one more time before the practice becomes either objectionable or illegal, because that's what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to make the Ten Commandments illegal. Isn't that interesting? They were trying to outlaw God, trying to make him an outlaw. Jesus mentioned the various commandments one at a time as they were applicable to each situation he found himself in. And we find them recorded as one unit in only one place in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Exodus. It's in chapter 20. And I want to take the time right now to read them through as we find them in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. I'm leaving off the first two verses because they are establishing who the speaker is of these commandments, and it's God. Exodus 20, verses 3 through 17. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, talking about the images. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou or thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and resisted the seventh day, whereof the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. That's it. That's the Ten Commandments. They're divided into four compartments. Those each compartment govern our relationship with someone. They're God's program for all of humankind, for mankind. Some of this has been abandoned by society in general. And we'll discuss this as we discuss the various parts. The fifth commandment, which is comprised by verse 7, is a transition verse and commandment. If this verse is ignored, the entire set of commandments become of no use or benefit to the life that ignores this particular commandment. That's why our society is broken. And it is broken, folks. We could call that the key commandment. The last five commandments deal with man's relationship with men. Everything hinges upon that verse 7. We will explain that as we get to that verse. So let's start at the beginning. God is eternal, and he has always existed, and that would be eternal past and eternal future, as well as right now. He existed in the beginning before there was time. He created time. The next thing that he created after the universe was the family. The family. Not government. The family. Adam and Eve. Now, Adam and Eve had a relationship with God. They talked to him. They saw him face to face there in the garden. God spoke to them. So that relationship changed because God was holy and could not abide sin in his presence. So after some time passed, God gave mankind a set of commandments. The first four commandments dealt with man's relationship with God. There was no ambiguity in the four commandments. They were simply this: man was to have no other gods. One God, one supreme God. Man shall have no manufactured images to which they bow down or pay homage or worship. Doesn't mean man is not to carve statues or create statues and things. That's not what the Bible says. It says they're not to bow down to them. Art is fine. Some art is beautiful. Some art is misnamed. Man shall not use the name of God profanely or vainly. And I'm going to have to stop here for just a second and go into this. That would be using God's name, vainly or profanely, as a common part of language, or as an exclamation, such as, "Oh God," I've heard it. Some of you have done it. I have done it. We're not to do that. That's using God's name in vain. Some people use the word Jesus Christ when something bad happens as an exclamation, not intentionally profane, but it is vain. God's name, Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit's name should not be used unless it is used in prayer. That's the only time that their names should be used. Otherwise, it is profane. Oh God. I hear that so often. And lastly, mankind was to keep, listen to this now. Lastly, mankind was to keep a day as a day of rest each week. It was to be considered a Sabbath day in which everyone was to refrain from working. That day was to be set aside for God. That's what it said. Now, I think something just fell on both my feet. Has God changed? No, our society has. Some of you might remember Blue Laws. When stores were closed, when restaurants were closed, when everything was closed, no Sunday sales. You couldn't eat out. You couldn't buy things because the stores were all closed because it was illegal to be open on Sundays. The reason that changed was because it was deemed, it was changed by the Supreme Court, being deemed a Christian law. And not everybody was Christian. Now that thing that just fell on my feet, both my feet, was false guilt. Okay? Everybody can go, okay. False guilt. The Ten Commandments were not written to me because I'm a Gentile. They were written to the Jew. And I would imagine most of you are Gentiles. So they weren't written to you. They were written to God's chosen people. There was nothing wrong with observing them. Nothing wrong at all. In fact, it'd be great if we go back to this deal of not working on a Sabbath. The thing is, it got so confused. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. But I know someone who is the author of confusion. So do you. He's your enemy. He is the one who has confused the Sabbath. What was the Sabbath? The Sabbath was a Sunday. No. The Sabbath was a Saturday. The week started with Sunday. And so the seventh day was a Saturday when God rested there in the Garden of Eden after the creation. But Jesus Christ arose on a Sunday. And that's what makes the difference for you and I. And that's why Sunday, that's why we're here this morning. This is our Sabbath. It's supposed to be our Sabbath. But it has ceased to be a complete day of rest. And so we have many different Sabbaths. Each country has different Sabbaths. Many countries, Sunday is just another day of work, another day of the week. And so there's a Sabbath for the Jew, which is Saturday. There's a Sabbath for the Christian, which is Sunday. And there are Sabbaths all over the world, different. Confusion. So you know who's behind it. The prince of this world. So you see, there was a time that Christianity tried to force itself on the rest of the population. That was actually wrong. The reaction was the total abandonment of Christian influences in our society today. When we were told to minister, when Jesus Christ told us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, what was the motivation? It was supposed to be love, but it wasn't. Somehow or other, it became duty. Somehow or other, it became a compelling of people to do this. If you're a Christian, you got to do this. That's not the way Christianity works. You see, it doesn't work out there. It doesn't work out of a book. This is the Bible. This gives us the authority to be a Christian, the authority to serve the Lord, but its motivation is love. That has to be our motivation. That has to be the source of why we do things. It has to be part of our philosophy of life. Love. We do what we do for other people because we love them. And one of the things that we're taught in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is the love chapter, is that love does things for people, not to them. It makes a wonderful difference in motive. Now, it would be good for us all to practice the first four commandments because they deal with our relationship to God. But as Christians, we are not under the law. We're under grace. We're under the grace of God. Out of love, we should obey the first three commandments. But we no longer observe the Sabbath because every day is supposed to be a Sabbath for the Christian. Every day. You want to know what a Christian really looks like? You look at the people in church. Us. Now, is tomorrow the same as today? Do we act the same way tomorrow that we act today? And usually, for many Christians, the answer is no. We're supposed to, and many do. But there are those who don't. Christy knows what I'm talking about, but I've seen people arguing to get out of a parking lot. A parking lot she lives very close to. Yeah, come out of church and then argue to get out of a parking lot. You know what they finally had to do? They finally had to pay a state police officer to direct traffic. I don't know what they do today. But the first four commandments would be fine. They'd be good for us. Now, we come to the fifth commandment. In verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is actually the key commandment. I think I had mislabeled it as verse 7, but it's verse 12. This is a very, very important commandment. This is a key that unlocks all the commandments, all 10 of them. Because what a parent teaches their child is supposed to be to honor the parent. There's a lot of parents out there who don't deserve any honor. I know that. They're drunks, they're scallywags, they're thieves, they're liars. But they're still parents. And when a child is 2 or 3 years old, or 4 years old, or 5 years old, to that child, their parents are in the place of God. Their parents are in the place of God. What they do with their parents, what they learn from their parents, if they learn to honor them, great. They'll honor God, hopefully. But if they don't learn to honor their parents, and that's why this is so important, then they will not honor God. Parents, it's important. Your relationship with your children is very important. It's the most important thing you will do in your life. Yes, they'll grow up. They may make some mistakes. They're their mistakes. Hopefully, they're not imitating us. Hopefully, we haven't taught them to make bad decisions. But a child is supposed to honor its father and mother. And I'm going to ask you a question right now. When does a mother stop being a mother? Well, you've been studying. You know the right answer. When does a father stop being a father? Never. Doesn't matter how old the child gets. And if we are living for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to love them, even when they're wrong. It's in the book. It's here. It's in the Bible. It tells us all about life, how to put our family together, and how to have a good family. When it says that the wife is supposed to be submissive to her husband, that's not part of the time. That's all the time. Even when he's wrong. And please don't tell him I told you so. He already is, he's hearing that already, not here, but here. God has put the whole package together for us. The whole package. And it's just us, up to us to read what he wants and do what he wants. And all the rest of the commandments, the last five, they all deal with our reaction, our relationship between us. Don't kill, don't steal, don't lie. That's man with man. And so, folks, with regards to the Ten Commandments, you will not suffer any adverse effects from God if you obey them. People around you might not like you, but God won't do anything to you. In fact, there is a verse in the book of Romans. And if I mention chapter 8, many of you are going to know exactly what that verse is. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. That's the whole Ten Commandments wrapped up in one verse. Without honor for the parents, getting the child grown or young can be pretty nigh impossible. So, the entire book, actually, the Bible, wants one thing from us. It wants us to love God. And if we will do that, truly love him, put him first in our life, all this other stuff will work out. That's why we meet on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, is to learn a little bit more about what this book says. Should you keep the Ten Commandments? That's up to you. It won't hurt you. Do you have to keep the Ten Commandments? No. They weren't written to you. They were written to God's chosen people, the Jews. Which reminds me, while I've got you all here, the 29th of this month, March, we have a Jewish, well, he used to be Jewish. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and he's no longer Jewish. But he's coming here to share with us on that Wednesday night, and it is a Wednesday night, about the importance of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So you set that day aside on your calendar. 29th of March, Jesus' triumphal entry. Yes, right here in this auditorium. Father, we are so grateful that you love us. And Father, we're grateful that you loved us before we loved you. And Father, we would ask that as we think about what you want for us and from us, may your will be done in each of our hearts, in each of our lives. Father, may we glorify you with our lives. May we have an impact on the people around us for the Lord Jesus Christ. Use us, Father, to reach out to a lost world. And Father, go before us. May your Holy Spirit go before us. May he do what needs to be done in that heart to bring conviction, to destroy the pride, and Father, to humble that heart that it might call out to thee for salvation, for being born again. Thank you, Father, for loving us that much. Go with us now. May we take the Lord Jesus Christ with us as we go forth, and may we share him with those you have put in our life. And we will praise you for all the things that you do, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.